We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrand, that fine gentleman over there. Still the illustrious Dan Rubenstein, so-called monster of the podcasting midway, sir. How are you?
I'm great. I love that we finally get to talk about something new-ish with these teams that we're discussing. That not that the spring games are necessarily the be-all, end-all of where a team stands, of course. But it is nice to be like, what's Penn State up to? What's Texas up to? What's Oregon up to? What's USC up to? All the teams that we're doing on this two-parter. It is nice to be like, all right, this is what they seem to be going for and prioritizing right now. I like that.
This show, all of our shows, brought to you by our good friends over at Geico. Please do check them out. Also, verballers.com. That's where you can go to find the bonus stuff that Dan and I offer as part of our Patreon. Verballers.com. VERBALLERS.com. You get access to all of our shows early. Discord. You get access to some of the games that I think we want to start playing. As part of that Discord server. That was one of the suggestions from the vaunted board of trustees. Great feedback from our prestigious board. You can also go on out there and get access to the Extra Nuggets show, the limited run series that we put together if you're into trivia. And last but certainly not least, Brew&A. The Brew&A episode, where we answer questions on a weekly basis. It's not available publicly. We do two publicly. We do one privately. That is the Brew&A, as well as some other bonus shows that we're going to spin out as part of our off-season content. Yes. And last but not least, SolidGiveaway.com. SolidGiveaway.com is where you can go and get your name in the hat to win a Frank Beamer signed Virginia Tech mini helmet.
What?
We've been doing the mini helmet circuit here for the last couple months, and we've got a lot of Virginia Tech faithful out there. We've just got a lot of fans of college football, people who want to be part of the memorabilia game, get something that they could put in their office or in their den or in their man cave or sports cave, whatever. Signed Frank Beamer mini helmet. Looks really cool. I was looking at it before. So check that
out.
You
know what I like about Frank Beamer? I was going to stay on topic with Frank Beamer. Is that Frank Beamer can sit at home with his grandkids, presumably he has grandchildren, watch a Virginia Tech game, presumably in the last 2-3 years, and say, your old grandpa wasn't so bad, was he?
No.
Your old grandpa's pretty legendary in retrospect, wasn't he?
Not sure how he'll feel about Brent Prizehogue, but...
Get him on the record. Yeah.
Somebody get out there. Andy Bitter, get out there.
And ask Frank Beamer about Brent Prizehogue? Is that what you're suggesting?
I'm not saying, but I'm saying.
Wow.
What can we
do? We've come literally nowhere since that episode.
Literally nowhere. Okay.
Yeah.
So look, here's the deal. If we, and we're going to peel the curtain back just a little bit here.
Let's.
show you how the sausage gets made on this here Solid Verbal.
Give me those vibes. Give me those vibes.
Still got that sound. Where'd you find that?
The YouTube free audio library.
It sounds it. It really does.
Thank you.
I like it. If we were to have put together, this is bad construction, all of the audio from our initial Spring Snapshots episode that we planned, the show would have been about 2.5 hours.
That's a long show.
It's a long freaking show. So we did a little bit of cutting. We did a little bit of pasting. We're reformulating this show as part two from the previous show. You got it? That makes sense?
Totally.
So we did a bunch of teams in episode one. We do a bunch of teams, sans interview in part two. And so now you get a little bit more detail about what went on this past weekend in spring football and college football, because it was a very, very busy weekend of spring football. A lot going on. A lot of games and teams that you care about. So we're going to go through more teams here momentarily. We appreciate you stopping on back. Don't forget to hit subscribe. I urge you.
That'd
please
be great.
Hit subscribe.
Yeah. Ty is waiting for you to hit subscribe or follow on your podcast listener of choice so he can eat tomorrow.
I'm waiting.
It's day by day.
I'm actually going to insert a silence right here.
Okay. Take that moment.
Okay. I could hear people.
I thought that was enough time.
I think that's enough time. You could figure out how. All right. Next up, Dan, let's go back to you. Let's go to
Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. I didn't do Utah. I want to get to Utah next week.
Give me Oklahoma. Okay. I saw Brent Venables ran out with a bunch of former players. I mean, they're really, they're really going all out here.
Yeah, Oklahoma is going to be fascinating because Dylan Gabriel is proven, but this is a new system. They're playing with a lot more tempo than what Lincoln Riley was comfortable playing with, it appears, because of what we saw and because of what we've seen from Jeff Lebby in years past, new offensive coordinator. The defense certainly looks like it's going to be more exotic under Brent Venables than it was these past couple years under Alex Grinch. But of course it is. It's Brent Venables. He's, you know, he and Ted Roof, your guy, are running the defense. And I think there are some promising elements, personnel pieces on this defense. We'll see. I mean, you know, a couple of years ago, there certainly were, especially the back half of that season. The question to me is actually going to be about the offense. And they ran the ball pretty hard, and there's some promise there at running back. It was a windy day in the spring game, if you care about the specifics of the spring game.
I feel like every spring game was windy. I know it's spring, and that's a thing.
I know.
It was every game. This is going back 2 weeks. Yeah. Every game so far has had a footnote in their official write-up. Hey, it was a little windy. Don't take it out in the quarterback. It was a little windy.
Oklahoma's offensive line is certainly a question, but I feel like they're going to round into shape. Receiver is interesting. Obviously, losing Mario Williams, losing Jaden Hazelwood. He's going to Arkansas, of course. And you know, Theo Weiss is back. Marvin Mims, of course, is still there. It'll be fascinating to watch how quickly this offense comes into focus and is not right now. It's a little bit blurry to me, even with the proven nature of Dylan Gabriel coming back from injury. I'm still a little bit, I'm not concerned. I'm a little bit curious about how quickly they can come together because, you know, you play fast, you got to get into a rhythm quickly, receiver and quarterback. And it's just, it's a lot of moving pieces, but I'll be fascinated by the defense. I think there's, especially up front, some interesting pieces and, yeah, Oklahoma's in a good place. I think I saw that, you know, they had a crazy turnout, like 70,000 people showed up for this game. So, you know, not for lack of support, but will be great to watch. I love novelty within the sport, and Oklahoma's going to prove to be, it'd be pretty interesting. Eric Gray didn't play in this game, the Tennessee transfer, but no, I don't have a ton of questions about Oklahoma, just fascination at this point.
I think the manner in which they have welcomed Brent Venables back to Norman has been really fascinating.
Yeah.
They have treated him like a war hero coming home. And that is partially because of the way Lincoln Riley left.
Yeah.
There's definitely still some animosity, right? We talked to some folks about that before, and I understand it. I get it. But I hope that Venables is able to live up to all of that hype. He's a likable guy. We've been talking about Brent Venables for decades now in college football. So I'm hopeful that it will be a circumstance where it works out and that he can get that program humming in the manner that he helped Clemson get to an impressive level in his time there. But it's going to be a pressure cooker to get.
It's almost unfair I would say it's unfair for Brent Venables, first time head coach, and he's at a major place, of course, a place he's with which he's very familiar. But when there is that much animosity among at least some of the fan base, if not most of the fan base, towards the old guy who did get you to the playoff, that the unfair pressure of, oh, our new guy's even better.
I know.
He's an even better fit. He's going to do even better. That guy constantly got worse. We talked to, what, Jason Kersey about this.
Yep.
That there is this just like feeling that Oklahoma came out of this getting the better of the deal, swapping in Brent Venables for Lincoln Riley.
And that could be true.
Could totally be true.
It could be true. And I'm rooting for that to be true, but you're on a wing and a prayer.
It's not a prayer, but it's a high bar. It's a high bar to be set at. And I understand Oklahoma football. There should always be a high bar at Oklahoma, no matter what conference they're in, no matter what. There should be a high bar for Oklahoma football. But to saddle him with...
It's a lot.
He's already better for us than Lincoln Riley would have been in the long term. I don't think it's going to affect him one way or the other, but the story and the conversation around Oklahoma football, I think, should be treated more fairly than it perhaps is.
That's
right
fair.
Now.
Oklahoma State, Dan.
Yeah, fascinating. And didn't really play a true spring game. It was a practice. Spencer Sanders, obviously the entrenched starter at quarterback. To me, the big thing is swapping out Jim Knowles, who moves on to Ohio State at defensive coordinator for Derek Mason. I read a number of interviews both around the spring game and, you know, at the beginning of spring practice that, buddy, things are working. It's still on defense. It's Stillwater.
Like, right.
Stillwater and the Pokes are in a nice place on defense. Now, they replace a ton. I think it's 4 full-time starters back only for this defense, but Mason mentioned that he wanted to keep about 85% of the defense intact the way things operated to make it easier for players. Makes sense, you know, seasoning it his way and adding tweaks and adjustments his way. But what'll be fascinating is, to me, the offense. The offense is still a Spencer Sanders offense, not much behind him, by the way, and he's struggled with injuries these past few years, so there is no Drew Brown or Shane Illingworth or a guy like that. And so Spencer Sanders threw a couple picks in practice / spring show, whatever it's called in Stillwater. It's an offensive line thing. It's a wide receiver thing. It's, in general, where's the explosion coming from and where are the mistakes coming down from? That's not English. Are there going to be fewer mistakes within this offense that showed so much progress at times in supporting a full-on excellent defense? But this, I mean, look, I don't need to tell Oklahoma State fans that the Big 12 championship game was a woeful performance in the passing game. And so can you know, 10, 12, 14 interceptions turn into 4, 5, 6 interceptions? That, to me, is, you know, going to make all the difference in the world, because I'm not terribly worried about the defense. They've recruited well. They've developed well. Derek Mason is a stellar defensive mind. Like, maybe there'll be a little bit of drop off because that was one of the best 5 defenses in the nation last year. But I don't know. I think they're in a good place, especially you look at the Big 12 and the changes and the uncertainty on offense around the conference. Like, right now, whose attack is full on proven lethal within the Big 12? Baylor can make mistakes. Texas can disappear. Texas Tech has a new offense. Oklahoma has a new offense. TCU has a new, like, everything is new in the Big 12. And if Oklahoma State can get most of what it got out of the defense, even with the guys they lose, they should be in a terrific place.
Yeah. No, I agree with that, Dan. I'm fascinated to see if they're able to take a step forward.
Yeah.
That's really the big thing, you know?
Yeah. Do you want me to hit Texas Tech real quick?
Yeah, why not?
Them. I can't wait for Texas Tech football.
I'm really excited. I'm really excited for this.
I keep wanting to call him George Kittley. It's Zach Kittley, who makes his return after Houston Baptist and Western Kentucky to Texas Tech, where he'll be calling the offense after kind of a record setting. I don't know if they set records. I assume they set records because we had their quarterback on the show. So let's just leave it at that. Western Kentucky last year. Quarterback to me is still kind of a question. Tyler Shuck looks like the guy. Had a couple of pretty great throws, a couple of boneheaded throws. It's a spring game. That's going to happen. I think he locks on to his first guy, and hopefully that guy opens up a little bit too often. But with this offense, it's a lot of quick reads. It's a lot of, you know, zip it out right here for a screen or a slant or something like that. It's a very quick offense. They're going to play quickly. And honestly, the defense, which has quietly improved to average-ish, which I would love if people called me average-ish. That's great. I'll live with
that.
I can go to sleep with that. Tim DeRuiter takes over the defense and has a very good reputation. Was at Oregon for just a season last year, but did good things at Cal with Justin Wilcox. Like, he is a real defensive coordinator who has a real system, who, you know, the rub on him is that sometimes plays are a little bit slow coming in and decisions are a little slow in the booth. But if that can be solved, if there's a conversational aspect to how the defense is structured where we can get plays in quick, I don't know. I think guys were excited. Guys were playing hard. I mean, it's still going to be a talent thing and they don't necessarily have it. They still allowed 70 points to Texas last year. And so there are still open questions, but you look at the second half of their year last year. I mean, the bowl game is whatever. They look very good in the bowl game against Mississippi State, but they were keeping teams under 30. And this offense should be able to score, the best of this offense. If it is Tyler Shuck, there's receivers there. They can run the ball. I think they're in a good place. I think there's some, like, I think Texas Tech is getting back to bare minimum, kind of feisty and dangerous, and we'll go from there. And so I'm pretty excited about the Joey McGuire era in Lubbock.
I'm thrilled because it feels like if you can be a, I don't want to call it an upstart, but clearly they're not on the top rung in the state of Texas. They want to be. Maybe they can be. I feel like the strategy that Joey McGuire seems to employ is a smart one. Let's just go aggressively Texas.
Yeah.
Let's go aggressively Texas. It's a talent-rich state. Let's see if we can peel a couple guys off from going elsewhere, either leaving the state or going to UT or A&M, and let's try to build with that. I'm thrilled.
There's something about a new coach coming in and making what appears to be very strong coordinator hires.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, something good with this dude. It was like Sam Pittman at Arkansas. Strong coordinator hires. I like what's happening. I like that Arkansas was able to do this before they've even played a game. He convinces Kendall Briles and Barry Odom to come to Fayetteville. Like, and there's something, convince Zach Kittley, convince Tim DeRuiter, real ass names to come to Lubbock. I'm just intrigued that this is a very intriguing starting point. I said intrigued there twice and I regret it, but I am interested, fascinated, excited by what's happening in the short term. It just kind of feels like a, why not Tech?
Why not Tech
in the Big 12? With Texas disappearing, with like all the issues that all of these teams, or all the new question marks that are appearing for all of these teams, why not Tech?
Let's stay in the great state of Texas, Dan. We just talked about Texas Tech, talked about Oklahoma State. Let's stay in the Big 12.
I'd love to.
UT, Texas Longhorns. As I mentioned at the top of the show, Sark called it vanilla. Vanilla.
Vanilla.
Vanilla.
Your favorite ice cream. So that's great. A huge win for you and your horns. Yeah.
Had a little bit of a twist to it. Was it just straight vanilla? You got to see Quinn Ewers. Got to see my boy Isaiah Nair.
Yeah.
Transfer from Wyoming. He is going to be my new favorite player on this Texas team. Quinn Ewers, he's going to get
over Xavier Worthy?
Xavier Worthy, we know about Xavier Worthy.
Okay.
But Isaiah Nair, the transfer down from Wyoming, caught a bomb from Quinn Ewers and had, if you look at his numbers when he was at Wyoming, had a crazy 16.8 average yards per target. Which means this is a fellow who can take the lid off the defense. If you're Texas, you're thrilled to have that kind of weaponry out wide.
Robust.
Especially opposite Xavier Worthy, who had a bit of a coming out party last season. So this is potentially a big game pair of wide receivers that, with a new quarterback, provided they can stay healthy and consistent at quarterback, can definitely give a game-breaking quality to this Texas offense that they have sorely lacked.
Yeah.
So I am excited about that. It is very much in focus to me that they're going to be fine out wide. They're also going to be fine when it comes to the running back situation. Bijan Robinson didn't play in the spring game. We did get to see Roshan Johnson, who had a pretty good football game in limited action. They will be fine there as well. They have options. At quarterback, we saw Quinn Ewers, we saw Hudson Card, both showed flashes, both had some, you know, down points in this game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a spring football game. Both are still young guys. I think that much is inevitable. What I think we can figure out based on what we saw, Quinn Ewers is a much better arm, much bigger arm than Hudson Card. Hudson Card is very good in his own right. Hudson Card, whether it's at Texas or elsewhere, is going to play and be a good quarterback. If it's Ewers, he's got an effortless quality to his deep ball. And the fact that you could have a quarterback at UT under Sark, under his tutelage, given his pedigree, go out there and constantly be looking for the home run, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. A
huge deal. Yeah.
So now whether that materializes or not, I don't know. But at least in the limited bit that we saw Quinn Ewers, that downfield mentality is exciting. Where I'm real curious, though, what's still very blurry to me is along the lines. This is a team that could not field two separate teams in this spring game because they did not have enough offensive linemen to do it.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No.
It's not good.
Nope.
So whether it's due to injury, whether it's due to talent, whether it's due to recruiting, there's a whole multitude of reasons why that circumstance is the way it is. But need to improve along the lines. They were especially vocal as a defensive coaching staff this spring talking about how they felt they were better at stopping the run.
Okay.
They weren't very good at stopping the run in the spring game.
They weren't very good at stopping much.
They weren't very good at stopping much, but especially the run. That was one of their proud points of emphasis building up to the spring game. They weren't very good at doing it. Maybe it was a one-off. I don't know.
Okay.
But that is an area where we've talked about it before. They need to get better. They know they need to get better. They brought it up in repeated interviews that they felt they were better. Maybe they'll be better in September, but they weren't necessarily better on that weekend in April, this past weekend.
Yep.
So we'll see that the line play, definitely defensively on the whole, those things are going to be blurry things that are out of focus until the season gets a little bit closer. But offensively, there should be no shortage of skill talent, not at quarterback, running back, wide receiver. We know Sark can coach offense. So they're going to score. It's just a matter of, you know, can their defense live up to its side of the bill?
Counterpoint, they may not score as they did for long
stretches
last year.
Yeah, they might not.
Somehow, the Texas offense last year was all gas and brakes, and that is not a winning formula in the long term. So
we'll see.
I'm not terribly concerned about Texas and even their offensive line. I think they've got two huge bodies coming in. Banks was a five-star locally who was committed to Oregon forever until Mario Cristobal left. I think it's Cam Williams, another big body coming in. So the receiving talent is only getting deeper. The offensive line talent will show up. I mean, it's what Kyle Flood is coaching the offensive line and is an offensive coordinator, at least a co-coordinator there. I'm not terribly concerned about the Texas offense. I think they're going to get things figured out. The question to me is evaluating and developing a much meaner, more sound defense.
Yeah.
Because
it's true.
Again, can win a bunch of games 45-42, but that formula also means you lose them that way. So
yeah.
I think we need to see a lot more from either the existing players or a focus on the recruiting trail on guys who are going to raise the ceiling of this team considerably because of an angry, successful defense under Pete Kwiatkowski.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, if we're going to talk about Sark, let's talk about Lane.
Let's.
Two guys inextricably linked.
Ooh, good use of inextricably.
Back to their time at USC. Ole Miss, a very interesting team to watch through spring practice, certainly through the early part of this coming football season, for a number of reasons, not the least of which is quarterback, right? So the situation at Ole Miss is that Matt Corral, who'd been there forever, who was very productive, who willed that team to many, many victories, is going to be drafted into the NFL in a matter of hours. So they've got a situation now where they brought in Jackson Dart, USC guy. Jackson Dart, without a place on that USC depth chart, given the fact that Caleb Williams came over from Oklahoma. Jackson Dart, a lot of teams were after Jackson Dart. He decides to go to Lane at Ole Miss. That clearly and rightfully got a lot of the attention. Here's what's interesting about that. First off, Jackson Dart did get reps, but he got him with the second team.
Okay.
Got him with the second team. Luke Altmaier played with the ones. So make of that whatever you will. Spring doesn't necessarily equate to anything come fall.
Right.
But he was with the twos.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, to build on that point, Jackson Dart did not look good. He didn't look good.
Well, there's that.
He didn't look good. He threw two touchdowns, but he had two picks. He was 11 of 30. There were a bunch of overthrows. A lot of misses in there.
Mm-hmm.
Again, what is that worth? I don't know. Can he improve? Yeah, he can improve. We saw what he could do at USC. I thought he was pretty good. Ran 16 times for 66 yards. Factor in sacks and all that. You know how college is, but...
Yep.
So, kind of a mixed bag for Jackson Dart, but it could have been because he was with the twos. I don't know. It could have been because the offensive line and depth up front is a glaring question. That's very blurry.
Yeah,
going into this
throwing into
season.
A decent defense, yeah.
We didn't get any answers there, but for sure, Jackson Dart left a lot to be desired. I still think he will be the guy. I don't think it's going to be Luke Altmaier, but at least in this limited sample size, it was Luke Altmaier who looked the better at quarterback. Actually, the big transfer from USC that looked the best here was a guy by the name of Michael Trigg, Dan.
Yeah. Tight end.
Tight end, yeah. And this is especially notable for Ole Miss because they only had two touchdowns at the tight end position all last season down there in Oxford. So to have a guy like a Trigg come over from USC, he instantly steps in, seven catches, 89 yards, three touchdowns, a two-point conversion. If they can get anywhere near that level of production going up to, going into September, that'd be a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Jackson Dart question, I don't think is a large one, but those type of numbers, and I have not watched the game. I don't know the context of the game, but if he is the guy, he will become the guy under Lane Kiffin. That, like, the thing is, if he is the clear most talented dude and had a bad day or had bad circumstances or it was a typhoon in Oxford, it was windy, whatever, that there was a windstorm, Lane Kiffin will get the most out of his quarterback. Maybe Jackson Dart's not the guy. Maybe for whatever reason, it's just not a fit. But besides the numbers making me say, I'm reserving the right to judge. I mean, he's been there for not that long at all. To have summer to get into to rhythm his with his receivers and to get to know that playbook. Transfer quarterbacks in the spring, I'm willing to say we can sort of take that a little bit less seriously. But if he has a downfall camp and still gets the nod and then has a down start to the season, who does Ole Miss start the season with? They start it with somebody big, I believe.
Ole Miss starts the season with the Troy Trojans, Dan.
Oh, the Troy Trojans. Do they have somebody else in the non-conference portion of the schedule, or is it pretty light?
Georgia Tech, fairly light.
Okay, so that's good. I think there's time. We'll see what
there's
happens.
There's a lot of time.
Hopefully it's a good fit. And it's what? It's your boy Charlie Weiss Jr.?
Charlie Weiss Jr., yep. I think they'll be okay in the long run. I won't go into painstaking detail about the rest of the team, but Zach Evans, Ulysses Bentley,
oh, yeah,
got limited work. They're going to get more work, obviously, as the season
huge
draws nearer. And most of the new names showed out on defense. Defensively, okay, to your point earlier, transfers and otherwise, they were really the story here. Those guys look pretty good. So
yeah, no, it's transfer. It's what, two new coordinators, right? DJ Durkin leaves for A&M and Charlie Weiss Jr.
Yep.
Replaces Jeff Lebby. Oh, no. Yeah. So it'd be great.
All right. Two other teams here as quickly as I can. UVA. I don't have a whole lot to say about UVA, but UVA's got a new coach. Brent Venables went to Oklahoma. Tony Elliott went to UVA. There was a lot of focus in the spring game on the running game. Because if you want to call up stats, I wouldn't encourage it on UVA's rushing attack last year. Something like 115th nationally.
Yep.
Not very good.
There's just less to worry about with Brennan Armstrong. Yeah.
There's less to worry about with Brennan Armstrong. Brennan Armstrong coming back. Brennan Armstrong, one of those guys, talked a lot about the cultural fit. Guys are buying in. Tony Elliott, this guy from Clemson, he saw a thing or two. UVA was really bad at running the football last year.
I'm seeing that they're okay. I think it was the defense that was the big issue.
In general, running was not the strong suit for UVA.
Okay. And yeah, I'm seeing success rate 21st nationally.
Okay.
For the UVA rushing attack.
Well, they didn't feel it was up to par because they focused a lot on it. And Tony Elliott seemed to be trying to suss out that position group as part of the spring game.
Yep.
Tony Elliott didn't say much. He seemed reasonably pleased with what he saw. About as expected is what he said. Take him at his word for that.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, you know, I think it decent enough turnout for the game. Folks are excited about the new era. It helps to have Brennan Armstrong.
Is Keaton Thompson still there?
He's
so fun.
Yeah.
I think Keaton Thompson's still playing receiver for Virginia, and he's really fun.
He's really fun.
That's all. Yeah.
Last but certainly not least, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
How many teams have you done? Did I do more teams than you? Did I do fewer teams than you?
It's a team sport here. Whatever.
Yeah, it's true.
No Tyler Buchner in this game. Tyler Buchner twisted his ankle going down the stairs. It was not a serious thing, but he didn't play.
Okay.
Which led to kind of an interesting circumstance. With Drew Pine coming in. Drew Pine, bit undersized, but in limited action last year, looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
Looked really good. Had poise, led the team on scoring drives. Looked the part. There was some conjecture that perhaps Drew Pine could be somebody who'd throw his name in the hat to become that QB1. Now that they're looking for a quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jack Cohn's gone. Maybe he'll get drafted. Probably not. Who knows?
Yeah.
But Drew Pine could be his time to shine. Drew Pine looked bad in this game.
Oh, no.
He threw a couple bad picks. And we're not talking about like the receiver bobbled it and they ran the wrong route or anything like these are bad picks that Drew Pine threw. And I think to further compound the problem for Pine, this has been a theme for him this spring. It's been the story all throughout spring practice that the accuracy, the footwork, the mechanics, a lot has been off for Drew Pine.
Wow.
And so if you're a betting man, and if you took the early 75-1 odds on Drew Pine winning the Heisman, I have bad news for you. This is going to be Tyler Buchner's team.
Is there a single human on earth who took that bet, do you think?
I hope not. Maybe Mr. Pine took it.
Person. Drew Pine's high school. Is there one person who was like, I did it? Is there that human?
Let's text Tim Murray.
Okay.
From VEASAN. Text him right now and see if he has any source, any sharp, anybody that he can speak with who can tell us if anybody took that action on
All
Drew
right.
Pine.
Good to know.
It's going to be Tyler Buchner's team. This is not a good showing for Drew Pine. That much came into focus. He didn't look good. And that's not going to bode well for him come September. We actually saw a lot of Steve Angeli, their four-star freshman, who looked, I think, pretty good. Scored a walk-off touchdown. Dove hit the pylon.
Steve Angeli?
Yeah, Steve Angeli.
Oh, my God. Notre Dame transfer Steve Angeli has such a great ring to it.
Yeah, he could end up being...
New Virginia quarterback, Notre Dame transfer Steve Angeli. Sorry, continue.
He could end up being the backup by season's end.
Okay.
He seemed to have better control of himself out there. Otherwise, look, the running backs look pretty good. Limited work from Chris Tyree. Logan Diggs got a little bit of Shady McCoy in him where he tries to bounce it outside too much. But
okay,
if they can get him to go more north-south, I think that will be good for him. Jadarian Price is a name that you should commit to your memory. He's a burner. He came out of the backfield, had 111 yards receiving.
Okay.
He definitely can take the top off of defense. He's a guy that they're going to try and use in a bunch of different ways. So I'm excited about him. Braden Lindsey beefed up a little bit. Add a little muscle. Braden Lindsey's still there also.
Yeah.
The line's a work in progress, sort of.
Okay, but your coach is back.
Harry Heistead's back.
Yeah.
I'm excited about this game.
Is there anything in terms of visuals about this offense that looks different because of Tommy Rees being unshackled, like people were talking about, at least in the first half of the bowl game, or because Marcus Freeman has a vision that Tommy Rees is more aligned with, whatever? Did the offense look any different than you expected?
It's tough to say in a spring game.
Backup quarterback. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, tough to say in a spring game, backup quarterback. Again, I can't emphasize enough how bad Drew Pine looked in this game. And I hate to say it, but he got a lot of the reps because he just did.
Experience.
Like, he was going to get a lot of extra reps because Tyler Buchner was hurt, and he didn't look good. Now, the line's a work in progress. There's sort of a mixed bag in this game. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to be fine, especially at the tackles. You can set the edge. That's a good starting point. And they've got guys. They've been good along the line. Harry Heistad comes in. Like, they'll be fine along the offensive line, but... Pine didn't look good. There were definitely bright spots otherwise on offense. Defensively, Brandon Joseph looked the part. Maris Lufau, their junior linebacker, is another name that you should commit to memory. I think he's going to be really good. Kicking game's going to be an issue. The kicking game is going to have Mama H and I on edge all year long. It's going to be one of them years. But by and large, I think a pretty good showing for Notre Dame. They were really excited. And, obviously, spring football brings with it eternal optimism. So,
is there a player that makes the hair on your neck stand up like Kyle Hamilton did for those 3 years on either side of the ball? That's my guy?
It's been Tyler Buchner since he announced that he's going to Notre Dame. It's been Tyler Buchner. We didn't get to see him. They did the package thing with him.
Okay,
he has looked thus far in spring.
Mm-hmm.
Sans ankle. Thing, whatever it was, he's looked pretty good this spring, and there's been
a lot.
I don't
know if it's sans or sans. Is it sans or sans? I never remember.
I've always said sans, but I'm from Eastern PA.
Yeah, okay, fair.
Everything I've heard coming out of South Bend is that Buchner looks good.
Good.
So he's been the guy for me, and if Jadarian Price can step up and show that kind of explosivity, that would be exciting too. But for me, still Buchner. Buckner's the dude.
Who's still in the backfield?
Chris Tyree is there. Logan Diggs is there.
But Kyron Williams is done.
But
Chris Tyree, he was formerly a neck hair guy for you.
Chris Tyree was a neck hair guy, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Alrighty, Dan, there you go. Woo!
I love your fake energy. I can see it in your face because we can see each other while we're recording this. I love the tie fake energy. There you go. Woo! I'll end with this.
I'm tired.
Just speaking of endings, I watched the last 14 to 17 minutes of Olympus Has Fallen in a hotel room.
Have you seen it? Oh.
Have you seen Olympus Has Fallen?
I've seen Olympus Has Fallen many times, yeah.
I think it's the perfect movie because you can watch literally 14 minutes at the end of the movie where I think it's Aaron Eckhart plays the president.
That's correct.
You got Gerard Butler, I think, is some sort of security personnel. I don't know if he's a bodyguard. I don't know what he is.
He kind of fell out of favor because there was an incident where his wife got hurt in a in a car crash.
There was something roguish about him.
Sure.
You had Morgan Freeman back in like Central Command.
Mm-hmm.
because they were scared about whoever was kidnapping and attacking the White House had activated something called Cerberus.
Yeah.
Some sort of protocol that would either detonate a bunch of ICBM type weaponry. I don't know. But I watched the last 14 minutes in which Gerard Butler defeats the terrorist, whoever, the interlopers, rescues the president who was recently shot. Spoiler alert. This was like on TNT or something. So if you haven't watched Olympus Has Fallen yet and you got to the end of this two-parter and were just thinking to yourself, well, as long as they don't spoil Olympus Has Fallen, I'm good. Sorry. Here's the spoiler. But, you know, in the last 3 seconds, they're able to deactivate Cerberus, which is such a good name for a top secret protocol. I called what Penn State didn't have at the end of the Michigan game a lack of Excelsior.
Right.
Cerberus is a really good one.
Is Cerberus,
like the three-headed devil's dog or something like that? Is that what a Cerberus is?
I have absolutely no idea.
A demon dog of some kind?
Sure.
But I watched the last 14 minutes of this movie, and it was such a perfect, yeah, I've seen enough. I get it.
Well, here's the thing, though. If you watch the last 14 minutes, you didn't get to see the previous 74 minutes.
Yeah.
When they actually take down Olympus, this being the White House.
Right, no, and they were successful in selling
Olympus. There is a scene, an improbable scene earlier in that movie where they bring out a bunch of attack helicopters, they take out the good guys, mm-hmm. and then there are a bunch of dudes running across the lawn of the White House, mm-hmm. and then when they get inside, they're running around stabbing Secret Service guys in the neck.
Oh, very specific strategy. Okay.
They're stabbing him in the neck.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's a weird movie. I always get it confused with White House Down, which is basically the same movie, but with Channing Tatum and a little less violence.
Oh. Have other things fallen other than Olympus?
They made another one. They made another one in, what is it, London Has Fallen?
Oh, okay.
They made a sequel to it. Yeah.
Did you stream it? Did you catch it on cable? Did you go to the theaters? What was your conscious decision
to
watching
this? Come on.
I don't know.
No. That was a Netflix streaming service. It's part of my subscription type of thing. No, I'm not paying for that. Come on.
But you sat down and were like, tonight is Olympus Has Fallen night.
Kate wasn't with me.
Okay, I was going to say. That's a hard sell.
No. Kate was with me when I tried Money Plane, and so I don't get picks anymore, but...
Are you going to go out of... Obviously, you are for the Nick Cage movie, The Unbearable Weight of whatever, Unshakable Talent or something like that.
I'll be there the first day. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
No.
Okay.
I'm planning a whole weekend around that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out what are my top five... I understand this movie is bad, but also it's amazing. I don't know... And not like in the so bad it is amazing... But I understand that cinematically, it's pretty poor. But I'm entertained by every second of it, unironically. Like, I think they did a good job of making this movie. I don't know what that movie is. Maybe there's probably, I don't know if it's True Lies or one of those from the 90s. But I don't know. Tom Arnold's pretty good in True Lies.
Solidverbal@gmail.com is the email.
Yeah. Send us your, like, I understand that there are plot holes. I understand that the dialogue is shaky at times. But in terms of pure entertainment, this just tickles me where I need it.
I need to think more about this, but I will provide answers on the next show. Maybe as part of the Bruinet tomorrow.
Yeah. Maybe it's Con Air for you. Maybe it's like The Rock is up there for me. Like The Rock is a face-off. Sure, there are plot holes. Namely, the entire premise of the movie.
Yeah. It's a little shaky. Yeah, a little bit.
But I don't know, man. It's pretty great. Shout out Caster Troy.
Shout out Caster Troy. On that note.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you to one and all for downloading this episode, for subscribing. I know you did that earlier to this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Please do check us out at solidverbal.com for ballers.com. All the work, social media, you name it. We are doing our part here to get you through the long, cold months of the off season. Give you a little portal into what's going on this spring. For that guy over there, my good friend, Dan Rubenstein. For myself, Ty Hildenbrandt. We will talk to you all next week publicly and tomorrow privately on verballers.com if you are ever so inclined. In the meantime, as always, stay solid.
Peace.